Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thank you for being here with us. You know, today I want to celebrate moms. Now, some of you, like me, were blessed. You have an amazing, incredible mom, somebody who you know cares about you. She's there for you. She would do anything that she can for you. Other people, you know, like, for example, Kathy has shared on Facebook, even here on the radio, that the lady that was her birth mom actually gave her up for adoption. And although her mom that adopted her loved her very, very much, there were certain elements of her mom's personality that, you know, made it difficult for Kathy growing up. And that's not in any way to say that her mom didn't do the very, very best she can. I think there are very few moms out there. Don't get me wrong. I think there probably are a few, but very few moms out there that don't do absolutely everything they possibly could for their children. But, you know, some moms, you know, being a mom is really... really good for them. You know, it's something that just really gels with them. My second oldest daughter, Amber, who is working with us now, and we're really excited to have her as part of Kid Marketing. Hi, Amber, if you're listening. Gotcha. You know, she was mom from birth. In fact, I remember when, well, it probably wasn't her little sister because she's only older than her by 2 years, but right around that time, either her sister or her brother, when they were born, she said, "Mom, you're not going to be able to take care of a baby." It's like, "Oh, why?" "Well, because you don't play with dolls." And that was just her mindset. She was old Mother Hover, was what we used to call her. You know, she loved children, and now is a great mom, you know. And, you know, we had Melanie on the show with her book, encouraging people that they can be great moms. A lot of really good mother things. And for some people, like you said, it just comes naturally. For others, it's a labor of love. You know, it's something you do because you love your children, but it isn't a natural skill for you. We've talked about, you know, your passion and your purpose popping out of you, and the fact that there are some moms that, you know, phrases like clean up your room are a constant part of their repertoire. And yet there are other moms who literally, you know, they just don't do that. My first wife, not to throw her mom under the bus, but I remember a Thanksgiving when, you know, we came over there for Thanksgiving. And when we came back at Christmas, the turkey from the Thanksgiving was still out on the counter. You know, house cleaning was just not her thing. She was amazing at craft, but when it came to, you know, cleaning house, it just wasn't her thing. And that's okay. Like you said, that's not a judgment on her. Each of us has our own gifting and skills. But today I really want to focus on those moms that are really getting it done. You know, the moms that do so much and they never really get the thank yous. You know, I remember not that long ago, well, I mean, it was more than a year ago on the show, I mentioned the fact that, you know, my mom did an amazing job when we were growing up putting food on the table. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, and yet there was never a time that we went hungry. You know, she made food out of, I don't know, I think it was magic, honestly. I got to tell you that. You know, and there are some situations that I have now as an adult that, you know, that I'm working my way through health and fitness-wise with that. But it's by no means because my mom, you know, did anything to try to sabotage me. And You know, and there was one time on the show when I mentioned that I didn't really learn growing up what nutrition was, and I know it really hurt her feelings, and I definitely didn't mean to do that. So I want to make sure that I clarify on the show that my mom definitely did absolutely an amazing job feeding us, and you know, in that situation, I, as a person, you know, had some things that I should have learned earlier in my life, as opposed to now being 50 and still learning what, you know, what I should and shouldn't eat and how I can take better care of myself. You know, and there's a lot of those kind of things that we have with our moms. You know, we just, they're just so good at so many things that we kind of take it for granted. It's like I'm always saying about your passion. It just kind of comes out of you. It's something that you do so easily, so well, that you, you know, you don't know you're doing it. And then when you throw in on top of that a mom who often doesn't get a lot of kudos, they don't get a lot of thank yous, there aren't, you know, there's Mother's Day, and it's coming up. If you're listening live, that's part of the reason why I'm dedicating this show to mothers, is because, you know, next Sunday is Mother's Day. And, you know, I want you to feel special and dedicated, but really, we don't do enough to celebrate moms. You know, some moms, they have the hardest job in the world, and that's staying home instead of going out and getting a job. I was a single parent of five kids for like 4+ years, so I get it. I understand how tough being a mom, a dad, you know, a parent that's trying to get it done can be. You know, and that staying at home often is much even harder. And then there's other moms that they have a career. Maybe they even own a company, and they're being this amazing CEO all day, and then coming home and running a house so efficiently and effectively. And like I said, there's just not enough time, not enough time spent, as well as not enough time to be able to spend, to really show the gratitude and the appreciation that I know all of us have for the moms that are out that are getting it done. Both our own moms, like I said, a lot of us are blessed to have really great moms. A lot of us are really blessed to have a woman in our life that is a great mom. My wife, Kathy, is an amazing mom. You know, and don't take my word for it. You know, talk to Amber. You know, she will tell you that now at the age that she's at, which is basically the same age that Kathy was when her and I got married, you know, keep in mind, I just told you I was a single parent of five kids. The oldest one had actually just left before we got married. But, you know, she stepped in with a 2-year-old toddler and four kids, you know, two boys in football that are getting clothes dirty at football practice and needed to be cleaned every day and all that kind of stuff. And she got it done. She did an amazing job for the children. And they're just always been our kids. And it's great. And I love it. And I appreciate the, you know, the amazing woman that's in my life that has helped so much. Just because I was a single dad doesn't mean that it's something that I aspired to be or held on to when I had a better option. And I really appreciate Kathy. And I celebrate her on Mother's Day as well as my own mom. And, you know, so shout out to all of you wives out there that are really good moms. A lot of times as husbands, we think it. Don't get me wrong. You know, we see you. We know how good of a job you're doing, but with the busyness of our lives, often we just don't tell you enough how proud we are of you, how amazing you are, and how great of a job you do taking care of the house, taking care of the kids, being an amazing businesswoman, doing all the things that you do in life. You know, for us as men, for those of you women that are listening, I'm going to say this on behalf of all of your husbands, all of the men in your life. For us as men, we see you. We know what you do. And we apologize for not just every moment of the day telling you how amazing you are, because you are. You are so incredible. So thank you for all that you do on behalf of all of us. Because the truth of the matter is that us as men, we could not be thriving in our life and in our business. We could not live as thriving entrepreneurs without you, the amazing woman in our life. You are the wind beneath our wings. You are the reason that we are successful, and we know it. We see it. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for all that you do. And to our moms, to the ladies who gave us birth, to the ladies who brought us into this world and nurtured us through all of our childhood, thank you. Thank you for your contributions to all that you've done for us so that we can live every day of our life as a thriving entrepreneur. We appreciate you. We see you. And this whole entire show, both of our best-selling authors, and everything that we want to bring to you today, we're doing it on purpose to celebrate you, the women in our lives. Mom, you are the best. Honey, our wife, we appreciate you, we see you, and thank you so much for all that you do. We'll be right back after this message here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Today we're celebrating mom. Whether we're talking about your mom or the wife that is an incredible mom to your children, today we want to celebrate moms, all that they do. I'm not going to engage in the debate whether or not a stay-at-home mom or a mom with a career, a mom that's a business owner, whether or not there is a better, because I don't really think there is. I think that moms that are getting it done, regardless of all the other things that they have in life, whether it be soccer practice or it be board meetings as a CEO of their company, I want to give a shout out to moms because I think you're amazing. I know that you are doing incredible things in this world, and I just want to spend this time today celebrating you, giving you some tips on things that you can do, and introducing to you some best-selling authors that have books that talk about their mom journey, give you some tips on some things that you can do, as well as some things that you can glean from it and be able to know better and support organizationally to help other people who are moms or who are becoming moms live fuller and better lives. Does that sound good? All right, so let's jump right into it with our first book. I want you to understand that moms do so much for us, but a lot of them also have their own lives. I know sometimes it's hard for us to imagine, but moms do so much, and they need to learn how to manage all of the things in their life. So to help us talk about that today, I'm fortunate to be joined by Rachel Moore, and she's going to help us learn how to transform your life inside out as the manager mom. Hi, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Steve. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on
your show.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for being here. So tell everybody a little bit about you and how the whole concept of manager mom came about.
Well, I guess, the intent of my book, Manager Moms, Mind Your Vision, is really to to help inspire and encourage women to create the life that they desire in the midst of undesirable circumstances. And because that's how I found all about becoming a manager mom for myself. I discovered purpose in it and helping others really effectuate their dreams during my pursuit of trying to fulfill a creative, fulfilled life for my family. And my situations weren't always desirable because my husband wasn't working and I was working full time and had, at the time, my kids were really small. And it was just a real struggle for me initially until I learned how to refocus my attention off of the undesirable circumstance onto what the possibilities were and how I could create the life that I fulfilled in the midst of all of that. So that's how it really started. And I just took those, each step with looking at the different areas that I really wanted to make a change in, from creating the home that I wanted or vacations with my family, providing for my kids. It was just a lot of those things I didn't think I could have because my husband was not working, but I was able to recreate all that when I learned that how to focus on the different quadrants of my life.
So you talk about the different quadrants of your life. Explain to people what the quadrants of your life are.
Well, it starts with your relationship quadrant. What I call it, there's four quadrants, and the first one is your personal connection quadrant. That's all about your spiritual growth, your own personal development, your physical health. All that kind of falls in that quadrant, and as well as your emotional health. And then your relationship connections are quadrant is where you have your spouse, your children, any relationship that's important to you that you want to thrive. That's that connection. It could be even business partners or whatever. Then you have your financial quadrant where everything relates to your finances, and your growing your wealth or family. It could be relating to your job or your business. And then you have the last quadrant is the community connection where how are you serving and giving to others and how are you living your life in that way to bring that kind of fulfillment in your life. So I started focusing on what my vision was in each of these areas that I wanted for my family. And, one of the things that for me, it started with my physical health because I started having a lot of stress because I was carrying the weight of the family. And emotionally, I wasn't taking it well, so it showed up in my body, and I really had to take a second look at how, what was the root cause of all of that, while it took me 3 to 5 years to really come out of it all, but I learned how to refocus on the things that I could control versus on the things that I couldn't. So that's how it really started, and I started creating, teaching my kids how to just dream together, and we created our kind of did like a family visioning, and things began to happen. I kind of share all those experiences in the book where I'm talking about how to dream with your kids and how to teach life lessons out of your circumstances and how things began to manifest. All the things that I was wanting started to happen. But it was all about this shift that I had in my mindset, my focus, my thoughts, and my perspective of life in general. But it started with me focusing on those areas, those four quadrants.
And so, because I know how moms are, the first thing that each of them is probably thinking is, all right, I'm going to get good at all four of those quadrants all at once. but the truth of the matter is you really do kind of have to focus on them one at a time, sort of, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, it started with me focusing on my health first, and then you know, I was focused on family activities. I was, you know, really wanting to have a certain quality time with my kids, having to be working and then making sure that I had the quality time that I wanted with them. So we planned our activities, and so that was those two things I could do at the same time. But there are some things, you know, you may have to just, what I suggest is laying out the four quadrants and maybe taking maybe one of your top priorities out of each one, or just maybe at least two, maybe the relationships and your own physical personal connection quadrant, and see what you can do with that. And because sometimes you're not, may not have issues in a financial quadrant. Somebody else may be taking that, managing that for you, and it's not as much of a big deal for me, but for me it was, since I was having to be the breadwinner, sole breadwinner for our family at the same time. And I, in my book, I kind of share a breakdown on how exactly steps that people can, that moms, you know, because we wear all these multiple hats and want it all to happen at the same time, but we can't. I kind of give recommendations on how they need to break that out. So I give more detail in the book.
And, of course, people need to pick up the book, Manage Your Mom, Mind Your Vision, in order to be able to really learn how to transform your life from the inside out. You know, it always sounds so easy, but what would you say is the biggest thing that keep people from just really embracing it and doing it?
Well, it could be, I feel fear is one of the biggest things. Fear of the unknown, or fear of wanting to be accepted, or somebody not accepting your ideas, or even fear of, you know, waiting for permission, you know, versus just stepping out and doing something with what you have. I share a story about when things would just seem like it was falling apart in our home as far as the physical building of our, we had a lot of pieces of wood that was rotting. It was just a lot of things was aging. And I would just became very, very discontent with our home. And because we weren't, you know, we had this one income and four kids, my husband was saying, well, we don't really have the money to fix it up. We don't have the money to renovate and to update things. And I accepted that for a while, but eventually, you know, I said, you know, I started thinking differently. I got out of the box and I thought, well, goodness, you don't have to have money for everything. What about you have all these skills? Let's barter your services. So that's exactly what I did. And I found a friend that was a great carpenter, and he came in. He needed a I'm an inventor, so I have patents, and I've helped other people get patents. And so he had this great idea about a grill for cooking that he wanted to patent, this new idea. So I worked out a deal with him, and he did all of my woodwork outside, all the trim, replaced all the wood, did some carpentry work on the inside, and things just began to flow. And when that happened, everything else that I needed just started to fall into place, from renovating and updating my kitchen to, you know, then I did some sewing and printed some things for each bedroom. It just went from one thing to the next, but it started by refocusing on the lack of not having what I thought was I needed was the money, to saying, what can I do with what I have? And everything else came into place. It just all fell into place. And I share that story in detail, and I just encourage every mom that's listening to look around and look at yourself and look at, you know, what limitations that might be in front of you that you see as a limitation, and how you can start doing it differently and think outside the box so that you can start creating something better to get closer to what you desire in all areas of your life.
So what one encouragement in closing would you give to moms who are overwhelmed and ready to, you know, transition out of that state?
I would just tell them to, you know, really take a deep breath and close their eyes and think about, ask themselves the question, what is it I really, really want in my life right now? What's going to make me happy? And begin to reflect on what those things might look like. And write those things down as they come to their mind. And once they're done writing, then take some time to reflect on that to see what ideas may come. And they can take one of those and say, okay, I'm going to start making progress in this one. And if they begin to see progress and ideas and things start falling into place for that to happen, they can go to the next thing, but it's going to take taking that first step first and really being clarifying what is it they really want. It starts with clarity. They've got to mind their vision, but they need to be clear on their vision before they can truly mind it and attend to it and focus on it to make things begin to fall into place and things begin to manifest in their life. And they'll begin to see a true transformation. So those are my words, and I encourage everyone to, get the book, Mind Your Vision, Manage Your Mom's Mind Your Vision, and I pray that it will be a great blessing, and I look forward to hearing lots of great testimonials on that.
Manage Your Mom, Mind Your Vision, Transforming Your Life Inside Out by Rachel Moore. Get it on Amazon today. Thanks for being with us here today, Rachel.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Moms, you hold such a great place in the world. We know you, we see you, we appreciate you. And manager moms, you have so much to give in this world. I mean, I remember hearing not that long ago that, and don't send me hate mail if I'm wrong, but I think it was the Dalai Lama actually said that he believes that women in business are going to actually revolutionize the world, that they will be the salvation of the planet. And although, like I said before, I don't want to really get into the debate whether it's a stay-at-home moms versus the work moms, because I think in general, it's the women in the world that are really carrying the torch for having a better world. You know, as men, we become so focused, and we don't mean to do it, so give us some grace. But we have that ability to focus on a particular thing, whereas, I know that you as women, you kind of are looking at everything in the world all at the same time. we were actually listening, Kathy and I, to a Bruno Mars song, and there's a line in it. I won't even mention which song it is, but there's a line in it that he says, I know exactly what's on your mind. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, there's about 25 things on her mind. She's thinking about the kids and their next thing at school and the laundry and the dishes and her business. And, there's some stuff in there about the romance that she's going through with this guy too. But, women just typically, and for those of you women who aren't that way, I'm just talking in generalizations, and you're still cool the way you are too, okay? but typically, they're carrying around a lot of stuff simultaneously. We as guys, we tend to do one thing, do it really well, and then do the next thing. And we really need the women in our life to come along and say, hey, I see you focused on that thing, but now we need to step away from that for a little bit here, and we need to deal with this thing and this thing and this thing. And if we can learn as husbands to, embrace our wife's ability to bring a list of things, then we can go through it one at a time, and really work through and have some amazing situations, some amazing things happen in our life and in our business. It really is a way for us to thrive. Again, women, I said it earlier, but I want to make sure you hear me as we're celebrating, moms, both our own moms that brought us into this world, as well as the wife that is a mom in our life. We see you. We know that we're thriving entrepreneurs because of the fact that you're in our life. And so we're going to take this commercial break, and we're going to celebrate by hashtagging Thriving Entrepreneur, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you use, hashtag Thriving Entrepreneur, and say something nice about your mom, about the wife that's in your life, the woman in your life. Hashtag Thriving Entrepreneur. Say something nice about the woman in your life right now, and we'll be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author, and now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. So we've talked a lot about the wife in our life, the significant other, that woman that just makes us a better man. But now I want to switch our focus a little bit more to that real mom that we have, you know, the lady that brought us into the world. And as I said at the beginning of the episode, you know, I'm blessed. I have a great mom, and I know a lot of you do too. And we just really want to celebrate those. Some of you are like Kathy, you know, a lady adopted you and gave the best part of herself to you. And I encourage you, those of you that, you know, have some struggles with your mom, pick something in your life that's good and really see the, you know, the impact that your mom had in having that be a part of your life. I know sometimes it can be tough with certain people that are just really sandpaper in our lives, but maybe that's what we need to look at is, you know, is they were the sandpaper that helped you become a better person. But for the most part, like you said, I really strongly believe that moms really do their best with the best of intentions in our lives to make our lives, and they would just do anything to make our lives better. And I really want to celebrate mom. I want to say thank you to my own mom again. She's awesome. She's amazing. You know, I'm sure that at some point, even if she doesn't get to hear the show, she'll probably like the posting for it. She just about always does. And I know that her love and her support is always there in my life. And I want to really focus on the fact that if there's nothing else that you can think of, your mom brought you into this world. Sometimes birth is a wonderful, miraculous thing. Sometimes it's very difficult. In every case that I know of, there's a lot of discomfort and pain that a woman went through to bring you into the world. And maybe that woman, like Kathy's birth mom, did the best she could by giving you up. And maybe that mom, after you were born, didn't know how to do good. But a lot of those moms, they did such amazing things for you. And the very first piece of that, that part that we really want to focus on right now, is that woman and all that she gave to give you life. So bring that to the center of your focus as we lead into this next book, because have I got a great story to tell you here, and we are going to listen to this best-selling author as she talks about some really interesting things that she went through to be able to bring her child into the world. How can you live through something that doesn't feel very victorious and learn to be victorious, to live resiliently? I'm really excited to talk with you about this book today, and I'm really excited to introduce Michelle McDonald with her book, Victory Cry, Living a Resilient Life After a Birth Trauma. Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. So tell us, I mean, everybody wants to know because I already introduced it. Tell us about the birth trauma that you went through.
Yes. So first of all, what victory cry means to me is tears of joy. After the awful experience that I've been through, all I can say is that the tears of joy just came flowing through, that I am alive here as a testimony to share my story with you. It all happened on the 1st of August, 2014. I was giving birth to my first child, and I went into the hospital, and just suddenly, I started to get this piercing in my ear, ringing in my head, and then I went unconscious. It happened within seconds. And all I remember waking up about 20 hours later, I was unconscious the entire time. I woke up 20 hours later to find out that I had experienced what is called amniotic fluid embolism, followed by a second phase called DIC. Now, amniotic fluid embolism is something that is very rare. It is unpreventable. It is very unpredictable. And it is something that can affect, studies have said so far that it has affect 1 in every 40,000 births. So 40% of mothers and babies will not survive this. I am very fortunate to be here today to share this story and share what AFE is all about. It is something that it doesn't matter your race, your age, your socioeconomic status, how many kids you've had before, or even your method of delivery. This can happen to anyone. So it is so important that, you know, your OBGYN knows and your doctors and nurses are aware of this, so that they can see it. I was very fortunate that my doctor was, my OB was, had seen, had experienced this before, and she knew right away when I started to experience the, when I went into, they called a code blue, because they thought I was going into cardiac arrest, and they rushed me to the operating room, and then a code pink was called on my son. So they had to do an emergency C-section to get him out. And then a code Omega was called. Three codes. Omega was called because I started to hemorrhage internally. So I started bleeding profusely at the site of the wound after he was taken from me. And all of this, I have no knowledge of, because I was unconscious the entire time.
And so, I mean, that's got to be close to a near death experience, right?
Definitely.
So how long were you unconscious?
So I was unconscious for about 20 hours. And I was told that I needed to get, I needed 30 units of blood and blood products to put back into me. And when I woke up, I ended up having to have a trachea in my mouth when I woke up. So I wasn't even able to talk.
Now, hold on just a second. If I remember correctly, I mean, it's been a while since, you know, I was in that part of schooling, but if I remember correctly, 30 units of blood should be more than replacing your blood, like probably even a couple of times over, right?
Yeah, it is between blood and the blood products. Yes. It is a lot.
And so
it is a lot.
20 hours, you've had your blood replaced completely, and you have a trachea, so obviously you're not talking. Mm-hmm. How long did the tracheotomy stay in before you were even able to talk and find out what was going on?
I was actually in ICU for 3 days, but it was in my mouth for 3 days. And obviously when I first woke up, I had no recollection of what had happened. And I was first concerned about if I did have my child and if my child is alive. It was hard for me, obviously, to express that. The doctors at first were, you know, wanting to inform me of this whole process and what I had experienced. But what was really on my mind was to find out if my son, Eli, was alive. So that took a little time because I felt like I was screaming in my head and screaming at them to just tell me what I just need to know, you know. But it eventually came out that, you know, he did live and he is alive. He's healthy and he's a healthy boy today. And but it was a very, very extremely traumatic experience. Even waking up to the trachea in my mouth and having, you know, not being able to talk and just being laying there trying to figure out what just happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's traumatic in itself. Yeah.
So let's talk about your victory cry. I mean, because my guess is that the minute you came out and you had the trachea in your mouth and stuff like that was not it. Talk to us about, you know, that rejoicing that came out of it.
Well, it first started with just being able to hold my son in my arms for the very first time, which was like 3.5 days later. Really hold him in my arms, see him. And that's when the tears of joy really came flowing. Because I couldn't believe this moment was actually happening. I was actually experiencing this. I never thought that I would have gotten through something like this after all the explanations that I was told, all the testing that I had to go through. So just that alone was my victory right there. Coming home and being able to recover. It took me about 4 months to fully recover. And being very blessed, having my mom and my husband there at the time to really be there to support me now that I have a newborn and wasn't able to do a lot of the basic stuff. Even to hold him and to lift him up was very challenging for me. Breastfeeding, something that I was totally looking forward to, was also very challenging for me. And just being able to just look at him and just take it all in and just knowing what I had just gone through, almost feeling guilty that I am alive. It might sound strange. I should be so happy that I lived, but I was almost feeling guilty that I actually am alive. You know, the fear, just being so humble now, having to go through this and having to depend on people now to get you through back to, you know, to nurse you back to health. So it was a lot of an emotional state that I went through in those first couple of months, I must say.
And people really need to read the whole story, Victory Cry, Living a Resilient Life After a Birth Trauma. But if you mm-hmm. could just share one thing of it, one word of encouragement to the people that are listening and they've maybe are going through their own trauma or have just come out of it, what piece of advice would you give to them?
One advice I would say is not to dwell on what on the experience. It is so important, so important. I spend a lot of time really reflecting and dwelling on what had happened, what transpired, if I wasn't here, who would have looked after Eli. I spent a lot of time doing that. And I would definitely say, yes, reflect on it, but don't spend a lot of time there. It's so important to move on, move forward, because for me now, I have to find a new rhythm. And that's the other thing that I talked about in my book, finding a new rhythm. Now that I have a child, he is depending on me. I have a responsibility now. I have to get back into finding my own rhythm now. I'm a new mother, working full-time job, you know, and you have to move forward. So one thing I would say is don't dwell on the situation. Make it a priority to just find a rhythm, find a way in moving forward. Taking time for yourself is going to be a mental state. So you have to do a lot of mind shifting and a lot of not only positive thinking, but putting yourself in a state that you can grow now and come out of this even a better person than before.
Mm, I love that. Victory Cry, Living a Resilient Life After a Birth Trauma by Michelle McDonald. Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And of course, everybody needs to pick up your book at Amazon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I also want to say that I wanted to dedicate this interview to all those mothers, wives, sisters, daughters, nieces who did not make it. Every interview that I have, I will be dedicating to these wonderful women that has passed on. Thank you.
A big shout out to all those women who have given so much of their life, have put literally all that they have into trying to bring a life into this world. We do celebrate you, and we thank you. Those of you that are still with us and those of you that passed, you know, we just really want to take a moment to be grateful for the women who, you know, tried and or succeeded to bring a child into this world, and it cost them the ultimate sacrifice. We're grateful to you, every single one of you, and thank you for the commitment that you made to bringing us into the world. Take a minute to think about that. Again, maybe hashtag Thriving Entrepreneur, and just reach out to your mom. You know, even if you don't hashtag us, just reach out to your mom, say something nice to her, and thank her for bringing you into this world. And then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. We've been spending this whole entire show celebrating mom, because mom, you're amazing. And we just really want to spend the time to tell you thank you and let you know that we appreciate what you've done for us and in our lives. Thank you, moms. Thank you, our wives that are the mothers to our children. Thank you. Make sure that you take time. If you're listening to the show live and Mother's Day is coming up, next Sunday, make sure you take the time to do something special for the moms in your life. And if you're not listening live, guess what? Pick a day within the next 7 days before the next show and really spend it celebrating the moms in your life. It's okay. You know what? If you have more than one Mother's Day in the year, it would be a good thing, really, because the moms in our life, they do so much, such amazing things for us. Now, I know some of you that are loyal listeners to the show or really interested in your story, you're kind of thinking, it's like, well, Steve, you talked a lot about how amazing moms are, and I don't really totally get how that correlates with the commercials about, writing your bestseller. But yet, I want you to see it. I want you to understand it. I want to take a minute and really break it down for you so you get it. Two ladies that we had on the show today, two very different books, two very different situations, and yet the common thread was their experience as moms, their dedication to being a mom, to what they put into that. That is that story that was in them that needed to come out. All of us has a story. In fact, I tell you what you usually will find is in your just normal conversation, your story is coming out of you, whether you intend for it to or not. I'll give you a clue. Again, we're talking about moms, so this one will really hit home for those of you that are moms. You know that thing that you say that when you start into the conversation about it, your kids roll their eyes? Now, those of you that are moms, even dads, you totally know what I'm talking about. You start into talking about it, and the kids are like, oh, here goes mom again. She's going to talk about that thing. And they kind of tune you out. You see, your passion is just a part of who you are. It's who you were created to be, and it's going to come out of you. Now, it's formed throughout the course of your life. The conversations that you have now, even though you've been you your whole life, are different because you've had different experiences. And that's why no matter how far we go in life, the accomplishments we've made, the struggles we've had, there's always somebody that's 10 steps ahead of us. And we can learn from them. We can get new information. We can read the best-selling books from our best-selling authors and get an idea of something that we can know more and then do better. But there's also somebody that's 10 steps behind you. Somebody who needs that thing that you do so easily that, like I said earlier, you probably discount it. You probably have gotten to the place where whether because of your own not giving yourself credit or because the people in your life don't see it because you do it every day. You know, you make lunch for them every day. And so, you know, how many lunches do you go through that nobody really says, hey, thanks, mom, for making lunch, you know? But the truth of the matter is that you really do amazing things every day. And that thing that you do so easily like that, there's somebody else right now that's on Google. They're searching, trying to figure out how to be able to do it. They would give anything to be able to do it. And, you know, in the person's life that you reach, it means all the difference. It's like the old story about the guy who came upon a young child that was throwing, you know, there had been a horrible storm and there were thousands of starfish all over the beach, and the child was picking up one at a time and tossing them into the ocean. And the guy stopped him and he said, why are you doing that? Why bother? You can't possibly throw all these starfish into the ocean. What's the point? And he said, to that one, it makes all the difference. And he continued picking up the starfish and throwing them in one at a time. Because you see, your story, to that one, it makes all the difference. But if you don't share it, if you don't toss that starfish into the ocean, if you don't give what you've learned to the world, nobody else can give your story. Nobody else can be you. I mean, we've got amazing people in the world. If you ever heard Lisa Nichols give a presentation, you know, you probably still have chills down your spine just thinking about the last time you heard her talk. There are many people, I mean, Kathy's said it many times over. Oprah was like, you know, the mom that raised her to learn emotional intelligence and stuff like that because her own mom did a good job of providing for her needs and stuff like that, but she just didn't understand those things. And so Oprah has meant a lot, has been a second mom to a lot of people. But none of them, with as great as they are, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King's wife, all of those people, none of them can do what you do because none of them can be you. And so I encourage you, you need to share your story. You need to share what you have with the world too. So I want you to come join us at bestsellersguild.com. It's a free group. There's a lot of moms in there. They want to hear your stories. They want to celebrate and rejoice with you when you become a best-selling author. And it's going to happen. We guarantee it. Come work with Kathy and I. We would love to make you a best-selling author. It would make our day to help you become our next best-selling author. And whether you do it through the group or through any one of the different programs we have, we can help you thrive and help you share your story with the world so that you can be our next best-selling author. So come join us at bestsellersguild.com. Come be all that you can be, Mom, because, Mom, you're the best. You've got great stuff you've done in the world, and we appreciate it. And now we want your story shared. We want your story to be out there so that 100 years, 200 years from now, when people are researching, they can be like, great grandma was a best-selling author, and you should read this book, the insights that she brings to the world with the things that she did. You should see how she can do this skill, how she has an answer to that question. Whatever might come out in your book, we want to share it. We want to share it with everybody in the world now, and we want it kept and held so that years, decades, generations from now, people are still celebrating, knowing, and living the best because of your story being out there in the world. So again, come join us at bestsellersguild.com and let's share your story. It's our hashtag, let's tell your story. Remember it. Come join us, bestsellersguild.com. And then let's share your story, because I need you to know, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created very specifically on purpose for a purpose. The world needs you. Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. If there's anything we can do ever, please feel free to reach out to us and let us know. Talk to us in bestsellersguild.com. We would love to help you thrive in all that you do. And until the next episode, I hope you will celebrate as a mom and the moms in your life, and that you will have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you, It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.